Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 857 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another great episode lined up for us. In today's show, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in the show. Before I get too far, I do want to send a few thank you shout-outs to a few of the great folks who continue to support the show on Patreon. Let's kick it off with a big Grow From Your Heart podcast thank you shout-out to my friend Kyle Hines. I want to send a big thank you shout-out to Badlands. Let's also send a big thank you shout-out to my buddy OG Purple Thumb. And also, let's send a big thank you shout-out to the captain and commander of the Eyrie Army. Let's send a special thank you shout-out to my buddy Lemur Priest. Big thanks and big shout-out to everybody who continues to support the show on Patreon. If you would like to support the show, all you have to do is visit www.patreon.com/growfromyourheart. All of the information you need will be right there on the screen. Once again, thank you for all of the Patreon support. In the last episode, I did mention that I was selling clones on iredirect.com. Many people took advantage of that clone drop. A lot of people got GMO clones. A lot of people got Lemon Jeffrey clones. Unfortunately, it has been 30 degrees outside in Colorado, and I am not comfortable shipping those clones, so they have not left yet. Those clones are still in the cloner being well taken care of. Those clones will ship as soon as the weather is better. It should be warmer probably Monday or Tuesday. I will get those clones in the mail for you as soon as the weather is better. You do not want those clones in the mail while it is 30 degrees. They will not survive. They will not make it. You will be very mad at me. So I did us both a favor and I waited a few days to send those. They should go out Monday or Tuesday when the weather goes better. I promise they're ready. The shipping labels have been printed. The boxes are folded. All I have to do is put that little clone into the packaging and send it to you. It's just a matter of weather at this time. Trust me, you'll be a lot happier if I do wait one full week. All right, I think I've covered all of the news and updates here for the start of the podcast. Let's work our way into everyone's favorite portion of the show. This, of course, is the question and answer portion of the show. I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. On the top of that website, there is a row of tabs. One of them does say Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, you are given the opportunity to send me a grow question. Send me a good question. If I read that question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. The first question on today's episode came from our new friend who is going to be called Biscuit. Biscuit, welcome to the Eyrie Army. Thank you for the good question. And make sure you check your inbox because you have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The question from my new friend Biscuit goes just like this. It says, "Hey, Rasta Jeff, I've got a question for you." And you know what, dude? This was a great question. It will really get me rambling. So thank you for the good springboard here on the podcast. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, "Can you please tell me the difference between a BX1 and an S1 seed?" That's a very good question. And yes, I will give you a very good detailed explanation of the difference here. The question does go on. It says, "My understanding is that a BX1 is the plant back cross to itself." That's a little different. I'm going to explain that. There's a lot of stuff in here. Then it says, "I have a pack of permanent marker S1 from another breeder." And on the package, it says, "Permanent marker to permanent marker." Now, isn't that a back cross? No. And I'm going to explain why in some detail here in a moment. It says, "Please help me understand this. You always explain things the best. I appreciate that." Then it says, "Thanks in advance." My dude, you are very welcome. Thank you for the great question. I've got a lot of great notes here. Let me try to stay focused. We will talk about this. We've got two very specific questions to deal with here. We're talking about what is an S1 and what is a BX. And then from there, we're going to talk about what are the similarities and differences in those things. We're also going to touch on a whole different realm called an R1, but you'll see where that fits in. So where are we going to start with? Let's start with the BX, or the BC, if you will, the back cross. What is a back cross? Why would somebody do a back cross? What's the purpose? Why does it exist? Let's dig into this. A back cross is essentially, if you take, I'm going to have to take a minute to unfold this, but it will all come together in the end. A back cross. If you take progeny of a parent plant and breed them together, if you go backwards in a filial generation, that is a back cross. You have bred back to a previous generation, back to a previous parent. That's why the word back is in there. You're going backwards in the breeding, which is not necessarily a bad thing. That is to stabilize things, that can lock things in. Let's talk about the main reason why someone, including myself, would do a back cross. Let's talk about the plant Golden Goat. Everybody knows I love working with Golden Goat. Golden Goat is what is known as a clone only. Golden Goat seeds were never put out until I did it. The original breeder never put out the Golden Goat seeds. There were no seeds released. The only way Golden Goat was put out to the public was the breeder that made it released a clone. It was released as a clone only. That's a term that will be important for the rest of this podcast. And learn about clone only. It means a lot. Clone only means the breeder that made it never put out seeds of it. So there's no boy. There's that one clone. It's that clone only version. That's what's available as the clone of Golden Goat. Now, I can make feminized seeds of Golden Goat, and those are widely available. So that's one way to make seeds. But many people in the growing community are not into feminized seeds. They do not like fem seeds for whichever reason, and that is fine. There's a lot of stigma, a lot of questions, a lot of miseducation around feminized seeds. Many people simply do not prefer it, and that is okay. That is the market. That is what people want. So perhaps a grower wants Golden Goat seeds, but like I mentioned before, Golden Goat is a female clone only. So there are no pure Golden Goat seeds. Now I want to make Golden Goat. What am I going to do to create Golden Goat seeds that are not feminized? What's the easiest way to do it would be to create a back cross. But to do that, we have to open up that Golden Goat. We have to adulterate it with another plant. It has to be pollinated by something to create a starting batch of seeds. So what I would recommend, what I have done, this is how I made my Golden Goat BX seeds. I took the original Golden Goat Girl. I found another plant that was completely different in all ways than that Golden Goat plant. I used a Daybreaker male as the plant that I used. It's got giant leaves. The Golden Goat's got skinny, thin, sharp, very serrated leaves. That Daybreaker plant has giant leaves that are, they look like dinner plates. You could build a canopy underneath them. You could build a canoe with them. You could build a hammock with them. These were gigantic leaves. The Golden Goat grows kind of compact, kind of tight nodes, kind of tight node interspacing. The Daybreaker was real stretchy and real wide. So I used that Daybreaker to pollinate my Golden Goat plant. The offspring was really easy to identify the plants that looked like Golden Goat, because they had skinny, very serrated leaves, not big, wide, fingery, big, fat leaves. They were very different. Anything with a big, fat leaf with a stretchy shape, I got rid of that immediately because that was not Golden Goat. That was Daybreaker Heavy. I got rid of that. I found a male plant that looked just like the original Golden Goat. So what I'm doing is I'm washing out all of the traits from that Daybreaker. I've now found a Golden Goat male that looks just like the original Golden Goat Mommy. I went as far as to pull leaves off of both plants and hold them up next to each other and look at the amount of serrations and the shape of the leaves and the spread between the fingers. I was really OCD about this selection. So I found a male that looked just like that Golden Goat, and then I pollinated the Golden Goat with that. Now, why is that a back cross? Because this Golden Goat was the original mom in that cross. I took the Daybreaker, I took the Golden Goat, I made seeds. From those seeds, I found a male Golden Goat. It's basically, it's a cross, but it looks just like Golden Goat. I took that pollen and I went back to the mom and put that pollen on there. Now that is now my Golden Goat back cross first generation. That is why we would do a back cross. That is how a back cross is done. Why would we do that? Because we want seeds of that that are pure Golden Goat, but there's no way to make a Golden Goat pure seed because perhaps you don't have the parents. There's only the female. So that's the first way to do it. You have to open up the line, make seeds. You have to adulterate it, make seeds. And then the next step is to start washing out the adulteration. So I have now made seeds. I have found a plant that looks just like my Golden Goat. I breed that to Golden Goat. That's going to make more seeds. I'm going to take those seeds, and guess what I'm going to do again? I'm going to find another one that looks just like that Golden Goat and put it back on the original Golden Goat clone. That is my back cross two. That's my second filial generation of that back cross. There's a lot of different ways you could go about doing that, depending on the traits you want, what you're looking for, but that's the way that I would do it. Keep keep making seeds back to that golden goat. And then what we're doing is every time you go to the golden goat plant with that pollen, that progeny has less and less of the daybreaker in there. So we're washing out that daybreaker with each filial generation if we do it correctly. So that is a back cross. That's how, why, and what I would do a back cross for. Now let's talk about the other part of the question, which was S1s. What is an S1? Why would we do an S1? How was that useful? Let's focus again on the original golden goat plant. Many people out there in the world want the golden goat plant. I have got the original golden goat clone. There are a lot of breeders, a lot of growers out there, a lot of medical consumers, a lot of recreational people out there that would really enjoy and really benefit from having golden goat seeds so they can grow it and benefit from the effects of this plant. So I am able to offer pure, unadulterated, feminized golden goat seeds to the market. Now, how do I do that? It is a very easy process once you understand it. I take a clone of the golden goat. I take another clone of the golden goat. I've got two clones of the exact same plant. They are both golden goat, so we are not introducing anything new in this process. At this time, I will treat one clone with a solution. I'm using silver thiosulfate. I'm also experimenting with a new product, but we will treat this clone with a solution. It's got to be the proper dilution, the proper intervals, the proper time. There's a lot of stuff that goes on to it. I'm going to spray this plant 7 times over the course of its life. And what I'm going to do is create a reaction in this plant that will create this female plant to create pollen that only contains female chromosomes. Yes, I know it sounds like a lot of wizardry. A lot is going on. Once you understand the science of it, it's really not that amazing, that hard to understand. I'm not going to explain it here. I've done a full episode on this, but I treat this plant. And right now I'm going to give a big disclaimer. The word herm, hermaphrodite, intersex is not involved in this at all. When you are making feminized seeds, the word herm should not be involved at all. If herm is in there, don't use it to make intersex plant, or don't use that to make feminized plants. Don't use any intersex plants in any breeding. There is no herm happening when making fem seeds. I'm treating a female plant with a solution. I'm treating it with silver thiosulfate. The silver gets into the plant. It disrupts the copper movement in that plant. That creates a hormonal reaction inside that plant that makes it create anthers, which create pollen. It is not a hermaphrodite. It is not a male. It is a reversed female. It is a big difference than the other things I mentioned. Those anthers will drop pollen. That pollen will be feminized pollen because there are no male chromosomes available in this plant. So I'm going to take that golden goat reversed pollen, put it on a golden goat female plant. Guess what I just did? I made pure golden goat seeds that are all females. So S1 is all golden goat to golden goat. The BX1 is golden goat to something else, then back to the golden goat to wash out all that other stuff. So the basic difference is regular and feminized. The other difference is one is adulterated and one is unadulterated golden goat. We can do filial generations with that back cross and wash out the whatever we use to open it up or start the back cross with. You can wash that out through 2, 3, definitely through 4 back cross generations, but with the fem seeds, there's no need to wash it out. With the feminized seeds in the first batch, 50% of those seeds are going to look just like the original golden goat. Then you're going to get about 20 of them that look like the mom of the golden goat, 20 that look like the dad of the golden goat, and then you're going to get 10% that are just fucking weirdos. They're going to look like grandparents, great-grandparents, weird mutations of all of the above. That is just the way the genetics kind of mix with that plant. So let me check my notes, make sure I'm on track here to keep myself going. We have talked about back crosses. We talked about when, where, why, and how that works. We've talked about making an S1 of the golden goat. Now let's talk about R1s. What is an R1? An R1 is very simple. So let me give you a phrase that you're going to remember here that you'll never forget. It's a little crude. It's a little crass. Promise you're never going to forget it. An S1, self-plant. That plant selfed itself. It went and fucked itself. An S1 is because that plant selfed itself. It's an S1. Now an R1, now we're going to talk about the R1s. The S1 is if I were to take the pollen and put it on the same plant itself. An R1 is if I take that golden goat pollen and put it on any other plant. That is just indicating that I have used reversed pollen to indicate that this is a feminized project here. The R1 is the first filial generation of a reversal project. The S1 is the first filial generation of a selfed project. So S1 is a self, R1 is a reversal, meaning I put the pollen on any plant other than what I reversed. I'm just opening up, doing more breeding. And that is a very viable breeding idea. I do that with a lot of stuff. That is how Orangegasm is made. That's how Lemon Jeffrey is made. So when I'm making Golden Goat Fem seeds, I reverse one Golden Goat plant, and I put that pollen from that one plant on another Golden Goat. I just made Golden Goat S1s. While I'm in the room, why not put it on a Lemon Skunk to make some Lemon Jeffrey R1s? Put it on the Platinum Tangy to make Orangegasm R1s. Why not just get creative and do stuff like that? So that is the Bat Cross. That is R1 and that is S1. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. My dude, Biscuit. Bro, thank you for the great question. Oh, also, I can't speak for the breeder that made that package. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but with what the details you have given me, that is going to be an S1. They took, just like they said, they took that permanent marker plant, the other permanent marker plant, they reversed one, put the pollen on the other. They did not add anything else. They didn't go backwards. If it's feminized, you have got yourself a permanent marker S1 is what you've got there. Once again, my dude Biscuit, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. All right, podcast world, let's keep this good momentum going. I do have another question here in front of me. This question also came from the Grow Help tab on iregenetics.com. The question came from our new friend, Barry Bryant. Barry Bryant, welcome to the Irie Army. Thank you for the good question. Once again, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds. The question goes a little bit like this. It says, greetings, my dude. Greetings, bro. Good to hear from you. It says, this thought was brought to you by Orangegasm, the tasty breakfast treat to get your day started. That's a really good tagline, a really good ad. I should have put that on the packaging, but I did not. There is more. It says, anyhow, I do have a hypothetical idea or question for you. This is a good question. I like this. It says, what if I have a 2x2 veg tent with one big pot of soil? Then I throw in a handful of seeds and let the seeds fight for survival. One plant remains. Is that one plant actually the keeper, or is that a dumb way to sort through a batch of beans? That is one way to do it, but in my opinion, you're not going to find the plant with the best terps, the best buzz, the best resistance to pathogens, the best resistance to bugs. You're going to find the plant that just fights the best, which might not be the best plant for smoking, consuming, selling, medicating, whatever you're going to do with it. That is the plant with the strongest roots, the most aggressive plant. Before I've talked about selecting male plants from a population, I'm going to say that this may have the same sort of criteria. Let's just say that you do find one plant that is super vigorous and super strong and wins. That is going to be the plant with the most robust roots, the most fibrous stalks. That is not necessarily going to be the plant with the biggest, fattest, juiciest, stickiest, stinkiest, most trichome-laden buds. Just like when I talk about selecting males, I say if we've got 5 male plants to choose from, that first plant that grows real tall and shows that it's a boy and is real vigorous, get rid of that because it's just too vigorous. You're making hemp fiber. It's going to be all male in the breeding mix. I feel like your female plant that survives this run is just going to be real hempy, real fibrous. It's not going to be good smoke. It'll be a badass grower. It might be something to breed to add productivity, vigor, strength, and all that into another plant. But I don't think it's going to be the one that we're going to want to smoke. It's not going to be the one that makes people say damn. It'll be the one that makes the grower say damn, but not the consumer, not the clientele, not the patients, not the customers. And that's who we're trying to impress, the people that actually smoke the shit. So it's a good idea. It's a fun game to play. I do like the battle of the fittest idea, the Beyblade idea you got going on here. But I would not do it that way. I would give them all their separate pots because, like I said, the one that wins isn't going to be the best smoke. It's going to be the strongest plant. And that's a big part of selection, but that is not the only thing. And I think you could find better if you grow them separately. I'm rambling. I have made my point. My dude, Barry Bryant, this was a good, fun question. So make sure you check your inbox because you have a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. All right, I've got another great question here in front of me. This one also came from the Grow Help tab at iredirect.com. Before I read this question, it is my duty as a host of a podcast to remind you that if you like this podcast, now's a good time to click like. And also, if you love it, click subscribe. That way, every time I put out an episode, you'll get a notification. You'll never miss any of my amazing cannabis educational content. All right, let's stay focused. This question came from our friend Special K. I feel like I've already made friends with Special K a long time ago. Shout out to my new friend Special K. This is a fun question. It says, hey, Rasta Jeff, thank you for the continued good vibes and good advice. Hey, that's what I'm here for. Thank you for noticing. It says, when you are gifted seeds, how do you decide if you want to try them? Thanks again. I hope it's going smoothly. Bro, everything is going irie for me. The podcast is coming out well. The day has been good. Been having some fun in the grow. So everything is irie. Let's answer this question here a little bit. How do I decide that I want to grow gifted seeds? That is a very, very good question. Every couple of months, I do like to pop a new batch of seeds. I pick out some of my stuff, a couple of lines. I pick out stuff from other breeders, and I want to see what my stuff does right next to theirs in my rooms. I want to see what my new creations do compared to my old creations. I'm very curious is what I'm saying here. So after I choose what of my seeds I'm going to run, sometimes I pull out my whole seed collection, the big hoard of seeds that I've got, and I look through and I decide like, ooh, this looks interesting, or ooh, I've been thinking about that. But really, it's all about, do I have room? That is the main, do I have space to grow these seeds? And then what else is in the room and how much time are those plants going to take? If I'm picking a bunch of OG Kush or a bunch of Indica stuff, I'm not going to find other hazes to go with that because that's going to fuck up the whole room. So if I'm running, let's just say I just found a bunch of random something something OG Kush seeds, and I'm going to run some Kush and some shit that I crossed to OG, I'm going to go looking in my batch for one more OG Kush varietal from a friend that may match up with that. So that's one of the first criteria. Do I have room? And then does whatever I'm thinking about running, does it match the rest of the room? Because I don't want shit one plant 5 foot tall and the other plant 8 foot tall. I don't want some shit 55 day, which is hypothetical. You're never going to get a 55 day flower. I don't want something at 55 and something at 82 days of flower because that's going to be a bitch to manage. So I think about plant compatibility in the room is one thing. Then what is the cross? Is there something that's getting my attention? Did I smoke something recently? I keep saying OG Kush. Did I smoke a Kush that's got me thinking, damn, I want that terp, or I really need that in my arsenal? Is there something I'm missing? If there's something I'm missing, maybe that's what I'm looking for. Maybe I got a pack of seeds that somebody said, hey, do you have guava in the lineup? And I thought, I don't. So I'm popping a pack of guava from Nothing But Gas. Big shout out to my boy Nothing But Gas, but I will have guava. So there are a lot of things that dictate me deciding which pack of seeds to grow. It could be something I need. It could be a trait. It could be a flavor. It could be a terp I'm after. It could be a breeder that I just want to give a chance. It could be a friend like my friend Nothing But Gas. He's been putting shit out for a while. It's time to give him a run and see what he's up to. See if his seeds are good. He's a good dude. He's a cool guy. Why not run his seeds while I've got some room and see how those seeds are going to do in my grow? Like I said, it's all about, do the plants match up? Do I need that terpene? Do I need that flavor? Do I need that growth? Do I need a trait from that plant for a breeding project? So it could be a terp that I'm looking for. It could be a specific trait in a pack of seeds I'm looking for, a growth structure. Maybe I've got a breeding idea that's going to be a precursor to. Maybe I want to make strawberry vanilla biscuit cookies, and this one's got vanilla biscuit, and I'm just trying to find that terp to get. Maybe it's a springboard or a stepping stone. Maybe I've got a friend that's been breeding for a long time, and as I'm going through my seeds, I've got like a bunch of stuff that's going to be 90-day flowering, and I see his pack, and it says 90-day flower, and I go, hey, let's run this. Or maybe just like I'm letting my buddy Nothing But Gas have a spot in a grow space, maybe I'm just running those guavas because it's time to give my friend a chance. He's been at it for a long time. He's been putting in the work. I've got his seeds. They fit the criteria. Why not run those and see how they do? So there's a lot of determining factors. Do they fit the timeline? Do they fit the growth shape? Are they a stepping stone? Is there a trait that I need? Is there something hyped up in there that's got my attention? Did a friend breed it that I looked at it and said, that guy deserves attention? Or also with all of that being said, it could also be completely fucking random. I might look at a pack and go, wait, Starberry Skunk Weasel? I want to grow that. I don't know why, but I do. Just like a lot of times out there, you guys see a strain name. People are going crazy. People went crazy for anything with the Ninja Turtles on it. You guys go crazy for that. I've got a new strain coming out that I haven't said the name on a lot of public forums. I do talk about it in the Discord server. Every time I say the name, people want some of that. People wanted Cherry Skunk before they ever saw the plants. When I said, I have Cherry Skunk, they said, take my money. So a lot of it is names. A lot of it is just random packaging. It's whatever gets my attention. Advertising and marketing works on me too. Sometimes I try not to fall for it, but that shit does get me. So this was a really good, fun question. I just decide based on, does it fit the criteria of the room, flowering time, growth-wise? Is there a terp or a trait that I need? Is it a stepping stone for a breeding project? Or, honest, it could just be a random pack of seeds I chose to fill in that section of the room because I needed more seeds. There's a lot of random. There are a lot of details and a lot of nothing that helped me decide that. So there's no rhyme or reason, but there's also a lot of criteria. Take that what you will. But also, make sure you take your free pack of seeds from iReadDirect.com. All right, I think that's all I've got for this episode. My computer screen went blank a few moments ago. I don't know if I even have any notes left. We may be freestyling the rest of this show. I'm trying to get it back. There we go. It needs a password. I'm not even going to edit this. It looks like we're back. I've saved the notes. We've got some structure once again. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all the great questions on this podcast. If your question did not get read on today's episode, please do not feel discouraged. I have got a mountain of emails here in front of me, and eventually I will work my way through all of them. So please continue to send me those questions. And if I did not read your question, keep listening. Who knows? This one right here on the top of the pile, I won't show it to you, but it could be yours. I might read it on the very next episode. So keep listening, and please do keep sending me those grow questions from the Grow Help tab at iregenetics.com. I think that's all I've got for you. Don't forget, there is a Black Friday sale coming. I'm going to do an early pre-Black Friday drop. That's right, November 16th at iregenetics.com. There will be a bunch of great stuff on iregenetics. Go check out the new Ruby Waves will be available. The restock of the Double Lemon Skunk will be available. There will be a brand new freebie. Restocks of a bunch of great stuff. The Bobby Knight will be very affordable. Tinfoil Hat will be very affordable. There will be a huge sale on regular and feminized seeds. I have said enough already. The 16th is the day. iReadDirect is the website. Tell them Rasta Jeff sent you. For updates and details, join the mailing list. That's right, iregenetics.com. Halfway down on the page, there's a tab that says Stay Up to Date. Type in your email address. When I do new drops, new sales, new releases, you will get an email with an update. And when I put out more clones or new strains, also you'll get a reminder about the Black Friday sale if you sign up for the newsletter. All right, everything else you could possibly imagine is at iregenetics.com. You guys, my voice and throat are burning out and simply getting tired. It is time to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my friend Kurt Z. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, poke your mom, and relax.
Hold up.
To show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vine. Rasta Jeff in our conscious fight. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, your bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. The proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through in this garden. Find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Join the movement, sing the song.